Taking my little cold medicine, getting all prepared. At the last minute this past week, Terry had made his plans much earlier, and it's a wonderful opportunity, especially the timing on it, such that Jennifer's father had been so ill, and Jennifer had gone down for 3 weeks, and they'd already planned this trip to go down to New Orleans. And in my conversations with Terry, I could tell about how excited it is to go home. And for just this morning, I'm going to speak about the book Ezekiel. I'm going to take you into the 34th chapter. But before that, I'm going to talk a little bit. This is not the preaching part, this is just the talking part. And the talking part is that when God sends you people in your life who are there at the perfect timing, you ought to thank God for it, and you ought to thank God for them. Terry and I have been friends now for 10 years, and he came into my life at a time when I was going through many, many personal issues. And I found a friend who we had very much in common with. A love of music. Every time that I've ever walked up and greeted or been greeted by Terry, I've been welcomed by nothing more than a smile and a handshake. But the thing that brought us together, I believe, so tightly was I love his testimony for God. No matter where he is, he still thanks that master who did so much in his life. And trust me, friends, that Terry, he's a talented fellow. If you were here Friday night for the concert, they had a young piano player here, I think he's about 22, and before the concert walking in, I mentioned to Joshua, I said, well, I might have Terry play one with you here tonight, and you can always tell when people, they don't know each other and all like that, and when somebody tells you they can play, you go, oh, that's nice, you know. Somebody tells you they can dance, oh, that's nice, you know. Somebody tells you they can do certain things, that's nice. But before the concert, as he got on the piano, the keyboard here, and Terry got on the keyboard over there, and then Terry moved to the piano and all, you could just tell the appreciation that each one had for the other's talent. During the concert, middle way through there, they did about 4 songs together, and oh my goodness, people were standing up simply watching them use their talent for the glory of God. For some reason, this church has drawn in people with, I believe, great, great talents. But more importantly, this church has drawn in people with big hearts. I'm amazed about how when people have their talent, but at the same time, they in no way remind me of what little talent I have in certain areas. That's an important thing. I was told one time, if someone can mention to you their ailment that you are going through, that they are going through, and you do not mention your own ailment, you've matured in life. Think about it. And I believe that we've been so blessed here to have the folks that have walked in, not only with great talent, but with big heart and the way that they simply treat people. So I kind of made up my mind earlier. I said, well, I got on, we can do that. And Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm looking, flights are there, and here we go nonstop. I'm going to go down, I'm going to walk in. One of two things will happen. It'll be a smile, it'll be, brother, I am happy to see you, or it could be, I took a 3-hour flight to get away from you on a Sunday. I'm not sure exactly of what I will walk into and see. But my intention on what I am doing is to simply bring the love that we feel here for a brother that's done so much for us and for me personally. In the 11th verse in the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I love this verse. I love going back in the Old Testament. I love these writings because they are so positive. If you're a new Christian and you're just going and trying to find out what all this book is about, this thing I have open in front of me, if you ask me suggestions, I'm going to send you over to the New Testament, say the book of St. John. I'm going to ask you to read those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and especially folks. I'm going to do that thing. I heard one time, I said, when you study the Bible, it ought to be like picking apples. I said, how's that? He says, well, for those of you who've had the pleasure, and I have too, says, when you pick apples, what do you do first? You know, it's easy to get the ones you can reach, but you can't reach them. What do? You go shake the tree. And the ripest apple will do what? It'll fall. And then when you're done shaking the tree, you hopefully grab a hold of one of the limbs and you shake it, put a little more pressure, and the next ripest one will come off. And after that, you'll go to even the smallest twig and shake it. Because what happens in this book in the beginning, you get some of the ripest and the sweetest themes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But then after a while, God will allow you to go a little deeper. He will allow you to find out and reveal to you things that will just simply thrill and enrich your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ becomes your Savior when you accept him into your heart. But the challenge is to become his disciple by allowing him to become the Lord of your life. And that's where we get down to shaking the branches and even the twigs and get to those special items. The 11th verse, for thus saith the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their folds shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Allow us to open our minds and hearts and receive that truth you have for each one as individuals. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen. 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 I want to serve a God who looked for me. I want to serve a God who is so concerned about me. I want to serve a God that the times that I am broken, the times that I am sick, the times that I am just not where I should be, he will come and find me. I want to serve a God that no matter what goes on in my life, I know without a shadow of a doubt that he will be there. There's a church down in North Carolina. And there was a well-known pastor and a writer named John Claypool. And he took a trip. And he passed by this little small church nestled in a cove. But the thing he said what caught his attention was the sign in front of the church. The sign read, Mount Carmel Baptist Church, founded in 1796. But then underneath were the words that struck his heart. It simply says, where men meet God. Plain and simple. Where men meet God. Everybody has a concept of what church should be like. Everybody always asks me, well, what is your church like? I said, well, you simply have to come and see. Because I have absolutely no control over the people who are in the church, especially on a Sunday morning. Wednesday night, we had a good friend who came and sat with us through the Wednesday night service. And Brother Tom, he came to me later on. He said, oh my goodness, what a joy you have in the house here you call God's house. Man, you talk about something feeling good. And he said that, I felt pretty good. I felt like somebody gave me a $1 million bill. But I know that although we can come in God's house and we can have exactly what I think we should have, I think we can have laughter and we can have tears and we can join in and we can bear one another's burdens, because I know before you get here that you're dealing with things in life. Spent a lot of time talking to Brother Joe Klein this week. He's explained to me some of the challenges that he has gone through. But this morning, as I saw his smiling face, and when these things started to begin to happen on Wednesday, he kind of looked at me and smiled and said, well, I just should have come to church. Amen. I don't think there's anything special. I don't think there's anything mystical, supernatural, unless you find it within the one who allows his spirit to live in you. It's not a program. It's not something that we have pre-planned. And I know these musicians will say amen to all the pre-planning that goes on. Because no matter how much they plan, we will change it. Because life's like that. It's taken me a long time that when I make my plans, when I make a decision to set on my path, it's taken me a long time to realize that I simply hope that I am doing things and making choices in the center of God's will, because His will is going to take place. The path that He has in store for me, it's going to happen. Sometimes in spite of me. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from the places they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I've had enough dark days. I've had enough cloudy days. When I first met Mr. Terry Lee, we came to church, and I said, Terry, here's a song I want you to hear. And I played him a song, and he sat down at the piano, and he played that song back to me. And here's a guy who doesn't read a note of music. Heard the song, he played the song back to me. And when he's done, he looked at me and said, you know, I missed one chord. And I looked at him, I smiled. Come on in, Marvin. I'm not going to shake Marvin's hand either. That's just wrong, Marvin, to say that. I apologize, but when you got a $1 million bill in your pocket, you're feeling pretty perky over there. Get away with those things. Terry looked at me, smiled. He said, "I missed one chord." I said, "Yes, you did." And I was just blown away by the talent. But I was much more blown away by the humbleness of an individual with such talent. I was much more moved by the willingness to just share what God had given him with others. And my friend, that is where you find joy. You may not be in a dark day. Don't worry, it won't be coming. But I will challenge you that I'll guarantee you know somebody is in a dark day. And you know somebody is kind of in a bad place. And you know somebody that is sick and hurting inside. And sometimes God is going to place it on you to be the one to help out that lost sheep. This should be the hospital that you come into. You bring your wounded. You bring your ones who are struggling. You bring the ones that are having challenges. This is a place you all just come in and allow God to perform his healing. They arrived together at the gates of heaven. I'm surprised I didn't get this from Charles Simmons. I'm surprised. An angel gave the preacher a plain cotton gown. They gave him a wooden halo and very modest living quarters containing only the bare necessities of eternal life. But the bus driver, the angel presented him a complete wardrobe of the finest materials, a golden halo, lavish living quarters containing every imaginable luxury and convenience. When he saw that, the preacher kind of protested, got a little upset, said, "Why does he get so much and I get so little?" Because the angel, he said, "Well, let me check the records." When he did, he came back and said, "It is because of the work that each of you performed in your life." He said, "When you were preaching, your congregation slept. But when he was driving, his passengers prayed." Folks, you don't have to get it all right all the time. You don't have to think that I can't do this or I can't do that. Look at me, because look at all the mistakes that I've made in my life. No. Sometime your greatest testimony is with the things that you have struggled with and are struggling with. If I sit up here in front of you and told me, "Oh, my life's perfect and everything like that," number one, you wouldn't believe me because you know me. So you know that's not right. But when I am honest and when I am genuine in the things in my heart and what I am dealing with, then many times God's Spirit will allow your spirit to bind together with the Spirit within me, and together we will find a path that God wants us to be on. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, we've gathered into your house. We have come and we have opened your word. We have sung songs about the Master. We have heard prayer requests and praises. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask now that you simply challenge each and every one of us, that although we know that you come and you search for us, allow us to be thankful not only to you, but for those that you place around us, God. Let us be willing to help those that are hurting, those that are sick, those that are downtrodden, God. And let us most of all be thankful to you for what you've done for each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen, amen. Two things don't forget about Wednesday night and also next Sunday.